I'm excited that it is sweater weather finally. I'm not excited though that it's cold and flu season. So some of you may hear my voice is a little raspy, so I'll hope that you bear with me as I keep talking with this raspy voice. Today we're concluding our series on following Jesus. And so far we've heard how we're called to connect with Jesus and his body. We've seen how we're called to go into the world and to make disciples. And last week we heard from Tom how we're called to serve one another and the world. And so this morning we're going to conclude our series on following Jesus by hearing how we are called to grow. And the idea of growth, it permeates our culture. There are books galore on the subject of personal growth and personal development. There are YouTube videos, TED Talks, and podcasts on the subject of personal and professional growth. And I'm guessing that by the fact that you're all here in a church building on a Sunday morning, that there's a good number of you who are interested in the subject of personal growth. So for you, what are some of the ways that you have been trying to grow this year? As I've been thinking on this subject, I was reminded of a conversation that I overheard between a few friends of mine in college back in the day. And let's call these two friends Mark and Jim. So Mark was talking with Jim, and Jim was a power lifter at Rutgers. And so Mark says, you know, "Jim, how are you doing?" "Not so good. Not so good, Mark." And at this point, Mark is thinking, "Oh man, what's wrong with this guy?" And so Mark says, "You know, Jim, what's wrong?" "It's my squat. I'm just not squatting right." Okay, this is not the reaction that Mark was expecting. And so Mark just says to him, "Really, your squat, like that's it? I was expecting something a lot deeper." In that weird interchange between these two guys, I kind of cracked up when I heard him, like, "Really, like his squat, that you thought it would be something about his spiritual life or his love life or his school life not being right, but nope, it was his squat." And I laughed at the time, but as I reflected on it, I realized that for my friend Jim, his squat was actually a big deal. I mean, he was an athlete, he's a powerlifter, and how well he could squat, how much weight he could lift, that was a measure of his progress as an athlete. And I realized that for his passions, for his priorities, that his squat, that was his key measure of his growth. And as silly as that story is, it helped me to consider the metrics that I use to measure my own personal growth. I heard this great quote that says, "What gets measured gets done." And we all have ways of measuring how we're doing. And so I asked myself, based on my own passions, my own priorities, how do I measure my own growth? How do I measure how well I'm doing? So for those times that I'm at the gym, my measure of growth is, am I lifting more weight than I did a month ago? Or in my professional life as a tutor, my measure of growth is, are my students getting higher grades, better SAT scores than they did since I started working with them? So how about for you? In the different areas of your life, how do you measure growth? How do you measure your progress? How do you measure your success? So in your work life, how do you know if you're growing as a teacher, as a nurse, as a carpenter, as an IT professional? In your personal life, how do you measure if you're growing as a person? For each of us interested in growing in a relationship with God, we can also ask ourselves, how do we measure if we're growing as followers of Jesus? Have you ever found yourself asking something like, am I a good Christian? Am I doing this faith thing right? If I am, how would I know that? How would I measure that? And my guess is that for each of us, we have some mental measuring stick, some picture of perfection in our mind that we are constantly measuring ourselves against. And whatever our backgrounds are, but in particular, our family backgrounds and our religious backgrounds, they give to us these spoken and unspoken measuring sticks to evaluate our growth as followers of Jesus. And so for me, I have certain pictures in my mind that shape my thoughts on my growth as a follower. And in particular, it's in the form of this guy from my old church that, and maybe some of you who grew up in a church background have a guy like this too, but he would come up to me and say, "Andy, how's your walk? For those outside the church, this is a completely bizarre question, but for those who've grown up in a church, you know what this guy's asking. And what he was really asking is, Andy, how is your walk with Jesus? And when he would say that, what he really means is, are you praying enough? Are you reading the Bible enough? Are you feeling all the feels in your faith? Are you avoiding all of that sin you're supposed to avoid? And are you really involved in a lot of church activities? Or at least, that's what I heard when he would ask me that question. And for you, who is that guy asking you those questions? What is that mental measuring stick that you're evaluating yourself against as you grow as a follower of Jesus? Today, we're going to see in the scriptures how Jesus says we are called to grow, and we're going to learn what the measuring stick is that Jesus says is the way that we measure our standard of growing as his followers. So we're going to read in John chapter 15. You can follow along up in here. So he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus gives us this picture of a garden to show us what growth can look like. And it looks something like branches growing on a tree. Specifically, Jesus says that he is the true vine and that we are branches on that vine. In our culture today in New Jersey, we're not really used to this vineyard image. We're not used to vines and wine growing. We're used to more trees. So you can imagine that Jesus is essentially saying this, I am the root and the trunk, and you are the branches. Jesus uses that image of a vine and branches to paint a picture of what growing as followers of Jesus can look like. So Jesus uses that garden image to show us that following him, growing in him, it's an active process. A vine, a tree, a branch, it's always growing. As long as a branch is connected to the tree, that branch is going to keep on growing. And so for us as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be growing on a regular basis. Following Jesus, it's an everyday thing. As we follow Jesus, we connect to him in the everyday parts of our lives. And so by giving us this image of growth, Jesus frees us from a lot of baggage that we might have been carrying. Because a branch doesn't grow because it's trying really hard to grow. A branch grows just as long as it stays connected to the tree. Our growth as followers of Jesus is not rooted in our abilities. Our growth as followers of Jesus is not rooted in our pursuit of new knowledge or of new skills. It's rooted in God's ability to transform us in a healthy, growing, living way as we connect to Jesus in the everyday parts of our lives. And so Jesus, as the vine, the root, he is the source of our life, the sustenance of who we are as we choose to follow him. And Jesus says that our focus in growing, it's to remain in him. And to me, I think to us, this speaks a refreshing word because we are being cultured in a culture that gives us so many empty promises of what's going to give us life, of what's going to support us, of what's going to nourish us. I mean, imagine throughout the course of your life, the different messages that we hear. So when you're in high school, you're told about college, and these colleges will say, okay, just go to the right college, and then you're gonna be set for life. And then when you finish college, you're told by these employers, okay, just come work for me, work really hard, and you'll get a promotion, so that you can work harder to get another promotion, so that you could work harder, and then someday you're gonna be set and you're gonna be somebody. And we work so hard at all these jobs, so then we could just listen to these advertisements which tell us, okay, if you just buy this product, if you just go on this vacation, you're gonna be so happy, you're gonna be so fulfilled, and you're gonna feel alive. But we know in our heart of hearts that going to even the best college, having a great job, going on great vacations, buying cool things, they don't give us life. They don't sustain our soul. They don't give us nourishment. And even as we consider the accumulation of all of our knowledge and experiences and understandings, as fine as those might be, that's not what gives us true life. Jesus offers us true life as we abide in him. And so, what does it mean to abide in Jesus? Well, to abide in Jesus, it means to remain, or to stick with him, to, as one commentator put it, to make your home with me. We abide with Jesus as we choose to make our home with him. And so, that's what Matt talked about a few weeks ago on the idea of being connected. We connect with Jesus as we choose to live with him. And so, here's what that means. It means that every day, I choose to put my heart into Jesus's heart. I put my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my passions, my dreams into Jesus. I make my home in Jesus. Every facet of my life, my work life, my recreational life, my relationships, my resources, they all become rooted in Jesus. And this takes time. We are not some kind of a plant that is just going to sprout fully overnight. We're a work in progress. And Jesus also says that he is growing us as one big plant, one big tree with many branches. We are not some little sprout that Jesus is culturing in a private pot, in a private greenhouse. We are all branches growing together on one big tree. So then the context of our growth as followers of Jesus is in community with other followers of Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, I am the vine and you are the branch, singular. I bring this up because in our culture, we've been brought up to value individualism so much that the importance of individualism shapes our faith sometimes to a detrimental way, so that sometimes we might feel like we're not being good Christians if we can't be a good Christian on our own. But here's the thing, Jesus does not call us to grow on our own. Jesus calls us to grow together. I am the vine, you are the branches. He said that he's building his body, the church. He's not growing a bunch of dismembered body parts like some weird scientist in a lab. He's building his body by giving each of us gifts of his spirit to build us up so that we can all grow up together in him. The Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of Ephesians, and he says in Ephesians chapter 4, the gifts that he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the full measure of the stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part works properly, promoting the body's growth in building itself up in love. So here we're told that we're supposed to grow, and the way that we grow is together. Listen, God has given each one of you a gift from His Spirit. He's given us all gifts of His Spirit. He has gifted you in some profound way so that you can make a difference in the life of another person. For some of you, that gift might be the ability to instruct somebody in their faith. Maybe for some of you, that gift is to pastor, to shepherd, to care for somebody and cultivate their heart. Maybe some of you have been empowered by God in a unique way so that when you start talking about Jesus, all of a sudden people who never wanted to follow Jesus start following Him. And maybe some of you have been gifted in a certain way so that you can speak the truth with God-given insight into a person's particular situation so that they can move from where they are now to where they ought to be. And there are other passages of the Bible that talk about these gifts of the Spirit. Some of you may be gifted with hospitality, with service, with mercy. Some of you may be gifted to speak in tongues, to heal, to exhort others, to serve others. Some of you may be gifted with leadership. Whatever your gift is, God has given you that gift, not just for you, but for you to build up another person so that we can all grow up in Christ. When we use our gifts to build each other up, we help each other grow into the person God is calling us to be. And when that happens, the whole church is built up into the body that Christ calls His own. So what gifts has God given you? And whatever that gift is, are you now using it to build up others around you? And what are some of the gifts that God has given others around you? Are you letting them build you up? And did you notice the goal of growth at the end of this passage? That the goal of this growth is that the body would grow, building itself up in love. And so then that brings us back to our passage in John. So when we think about this growing up in love, it tells us this: the measuring stick of our growth as followers of Jesus is love. If we want to follow Jesus, we need to listen to what He said, and we need to do what He did. And what Jesus said and what Jesus did was to love people. Growing as followers of Jesus means first and foremost this: grow in loving like Jesus. How does that strike you as a measuring stick? Love. You know, it's different than what I hear usually expressed in Christian culture. It's definitely different from that little voice in the back of my head that's always judging me for not doing things right. Part of me thinks, love, that can't be the measuring stick. Love, that's too simple. And there's a part of me that wants to make it more complicated. But this is what Jesus says is the greatest commandment: to love one another, to love God and to love one another. And so when we think about being a good Christian, we typically think about doing all those good Christian things like going to Bible studies and praying and giving money to the church and doing stuff in the church. And so we also think about not doing all those bad things that Christians aren't supposed to do. So by talking about this as the goal, does that mean that Jesus is saying that all of those good things don't matter and that all those bad things are all good? No, that's not what He's saying. But Jesus is saying that our focus should be on loving one another. That's our goal. That's our mission. All of those other things, the Bible reading, the prayer, the being involved in church, they are all tools, but they are not the end in and of themselves. So let's not confuse the tool with the job. Imagine a lumberjack. A lumberjack could spend all day sharpening his axe and appreciating just how wonderfully sharp his axe is, but that guy gets paid for chopping down trees. His job is to chop down the trees. Sharpening his tools just helps him to do that. So our primary goal is to love one another. Our primary goal is not the tool to sharpen our tools. So our goal as Christians then is not measured in how much the Bible we can read or how much we can memorize or how many hours we pray. Our primary goal is to love one another. And as we experience the love of Christ, we're going to be freed then to go and to love and to serve others. So by all means, sharpen our tools in praying, but let that help us in the end goal of loving one another. So that's our measuring stick. It's to love one another. So if loving one another is the way we measure our growth, how does it actually work? Well, it's pretty simple. Are you loving other people? If you are, then great. Are you a loving person? Would others say that you're a loving person? Because if not, there are some hard words that Jesus says in this passage. There are some hard words to you. And primarily it's this. If you are not loving others, you are not following Jesus. Because Jesus loved others. If we follow Jesus, that is where we have to go in loving others. We can have all of the right Bible knowledge, the right bumper stickers, the right church lingo. We could do all of the Christian activities, give lots of money to the church. But as Paul says, if we don't have love, we have nothing. If we are not loving others, we are not following Jesus, because Jesus loved others. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If we want to be followers of Jesus, we need to love one another. And so what does it mean to really love one another? I think that phrase, love one another, it feels a little churchy, and so sometimes it loses a bit of its impact. So let's put it another way. Love everyone always. Let this be the measuring stick of our growth as followers of Jesus. Let us love everyone always. So how does that work? Well, are you loving everyone always? If you are, then you're doing well as a follower. And here's the thing. We're never going to fully love like Jesus. Jesus is the measuring stick of our growth. Loving like Jesus, we're never going to fully measure up to him because Jesus is really good at loving. But the fact that Jesus is really good at loving, it shouldn't be demotivating to us, because the good news is his love is not just a measuring stick of our growth in loving others. It's the source of our power to love others, because Jesus is also really good at loving you. Jesus is really good at loving me. Think about, for whatever Bible knowledge you have, some of the ways that Jesus loved. Think about how Jesus loved people. So he begins his ministry by showing up to a wedding and to people who didn't have the resources to provide expensive refreshments. Jesus made a bunch of wine, a bunch of really good wine. To people who felt unnoticed and unseen, Jesus noticed them. He saw them. He affirmed their worth as humans. To those who were so outcast by society that they were deemed to be untouchable and unclean, Jesus laid his hands on them. He touched them, and he made them clean. To a woman who went through multiple husbands and lost them, either through death or being divorced by them, and was now onto a sixth husband in a culture that did not respect women, Jesus respected her. He spoke with her as a normal person. And in fact, he made her his first ambassador to a new city to proclaim the good news of who he is. To another woman who had been suffering from a chronic hemorrhage, Jesus not only restored her body, but her dignity. To those who were blind, he gave sight. To those who were lost, he went out and found them. To a tax collector that was deemed unlovable, Jesus went to a party at that guy's house. To those who were dirty, to those who would deny him, betray him, and abandon him, Jesus washed their feet. And to those who accused him and abused him and beat him and nailed him to a cross, Jesus prayed for them. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And he forgave them, and he died for them. And thanks be to God, he rose again for them. Jesus is really good at loving people. So what about you and your own story with Jesus? I know for me, I could look back at moments in my life when Jesus clearly loved me. When I was a little kid, when I was a little kid, God sent a few people from my church to start a little Bible study at a neighbor's house. And those people told me about Jesus. And sitting there on that porch at a vacation Bible school, I remember hearing about Jesus and I thought, I'd like to know him. And so I prayed a prayer and I asked him into my heart. And I was pretty young at the time, and but it made sense to me and I wanted to be with him. But years later, by the time I got to college, following Jesus was not first on my agenda, first on my priority list. But I remember at one point starting to feel stirrings of God at work in me again. And I remember sitting on a bus at Rutgers. And while I was sitting on that bus, I remember praying, I'm like, Jesus, when I was a little kid, I prayed a prayer and I asked you into my heart. And I don't know if that counts. I don't know if I really knew what I meant. And I don't know if you're still there. But if you are, thank you. And if you're not, please come into my heart because I want to be with you. And ever since that day on the bus, I've been riding with Jesus ever since. And it's been wonderful. And there have been many other moments when I could look back and see Jesus hearing my prayers, talking with me, comforting me. I remember a point a little over 10 years ago, just talking with Jesus and feeling alone and feeling tired of being alone. And I said to Jesus, Jesus, I'd like to fall in love. And just a little after, I met Sharon. And Jesus has been great at hearing me and loving me. What about you? I'm sure each of us could think of moments so clearly when Jesus has loved us. As we remember those ways, we're going to be inspired to love Jesus more and to want to love others more. And so then we can grow as followers of Jesus as we love one another. He's given us gifts of his Spirit to build up one another in love. He's given us tools that we can sharpen, such as praying and reading the Bible and being in community groups with each other and worshiping and fellowshipping together and serving one another. All of these things help us do the job of growing in love, in loving everyone always. So to kind of boil it down to three simple applications we can think on this week, as I've read through the text, here's kind of the ABCs of following Jesus. First, we're going to abide in Jesus. He tells us that if we want to grow as followers of him, we need to abide in him. We need to connect with him. So we need to make our home in his heart. We need to be deeply rooted in him as the foundation and the source of our life. All of our growth comes from him because he is the bread of life, the nourishment for our souls. So this week, I want us to take time to intentionally imagine that we're making our heart at home in Jesus's heart. Take time this week to reflect, maybe even make a list of ways that you can remember that Jesus has loved you. This is Thanksgiving week. This is a great time to do this. Maybe this week you can make a Jesus, thank you for loving me list. And that can include certain ways that you have felt him love you through a direct moment in your heart. Maybe it's an answer to prayer. Maybe it's a gift of friendship. Maybe it's an opportunity to form a friendship or to serve with another person. It can be anything that helps you remember how Jesus has connected with you and how you can connect with him. So abide in Jesus. The second, bear fruit. Jesus says that if we grow as followers of him, then we're going to bear fruit. And that fruit, it's love. So let us bear the fruit of loving everyone always. Make it our goal to intentionally love somebody. Use the gifts that God has given you to build someone up in their faith. Use the gifts that God has given you to serve them. And also let somebody else serve you. Love, it's a mutual thing. And so this week, act on an opportunity to say yes to loving somebody. Find some way to love somebody. And over time, share your everyday life with the people around you. That could be opening up your home and having a meal with people on a regular basis. It could be going on an errand with somebody, helping somebody in a work project. If you're not yet in a community group, join a community group. But bear the fruit of loving everyone always. And third, cut away. This is that strong part of the message that Jesus gives. Jesus says that the Father prunes the vine. Here's what that means. Even if we're growing well, God the Father still cuts away any part of us that's going to prevent us from continuing to grow well. Even healthy followers of Jesus have parts of their lives that need to get cut away. So what in your life is God cutting away? What habits of mind, habits of words, habits of actions is God trying to cut away in you right now? What are those habits that are limiting your capacity to love everyone always? As we choose to follow Jesus, God's going to show us those ugly parts of ourselves that need to cut away. So maybe for some of us, there are jokes that we just need to stop telling. Maybe for some of us, there are labels that we need to stop putting on people. Whether for some of you, it's racist language labels you need to stop doing. Maybe for some of you, it's less obvious but still belittling, demeaning labels that we put on people that cause us to see others as anything less than fully loved people created in the image of God, worthy of dignity and respect. Today is the day to cut those things away. And maybe for some of you, it's simply that there are some good but not good for you at this time things that God is cutting away. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? If someone did an audit of your calendar and your credit card statements, would it reflect the heart of a person who is committed to loving everyone always? This week, confess to God whatever your habits of mind, habits of word, and habits of actions are that need to be cut away, things that limit or prevent you from loving everyone always. And as God cuts away those parts of you that are stifling loving others, thank God for that change. Repent from those habits and choose to love everyone always. Because here's the thing. Imagine for a moment that we as Park Church all grew together in loving everyone always. What would that look like? What would that look like to the community around us? How would our neighbors, our coworkers, and our friends see Jesus in a new way if we all grew together in loving everyone always? How would people see and be inspired to follow Jesus? How would they learn about what it's like to follow him? Because it's hard for me to imagine a group of people who don't know Jesus to be really inspired by a deep quiet time that we all just had, or to be inspired by how much of the Bible we memorized. But I can imagine a world transformed by seeing a church that is growing and loving everyone always. And we can do this together. So then let's make that our choice as a church to commit to following Jesus as we connect, as we go, as we serve, and as we grow together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can grow together in you, that we can hear from you. I thank you that you can grow us up in love. Father, I pray right now for anyone here who has not yet known your love, who has not yet placed their heart into your heart. I pray that right now, Jesus, you would move them to simply call out to you and to ask, Jesus, I want to be with you. And Father, I pray that you would connect with them. Father, I pray for us as Park Church that we would grow in loving everyone always. Take away any part of us, Lord, habits of mind, thought, or words that are limiting our capacity to love others. God, cut away any even good but not good for right now parts of us that hold us back from loving others. Help us to abide in you. Help us to bear the fruit of loving others. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of your Spirit that you've given us. Help us to use those gifts to build up one another in love. And God, we just thank you that we can celebrate all this today. In the name of your Son, Christ, we pray. Amen.